Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever time of day you are listening to this, I hope it is a good one. Today, I want to do something a little bit different. Welcome back to Ear Candy Audience of One with me, your favorite podcaster, Trisha, aka Trisha Denise, aka Baby Doll. I'm here to give you guys a little motivation for today. Today, I'm going to do something different. I'm actually going to use a Bible verse that I read today in my daily devotional to kind of help bring some peace to those of us who have been feeling like we have entered a new realm of our lives. We feel confident. We feel like we've been on this level up journey and we have finally made it to the other side. I want to talk about why you feel that way and why it's okay to feel that way. And I'm going to use some Bible verses to help back this up. And then I'm going to start talking a little bit in my world as my worldly self about like friendships, friend groups, and dating and our soulmates and all of that. So yeah, welcome back. So the Bible verse that I read today in my daily devotional, I read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And then I also read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I want to talk about the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Guys, this Bible verse explains everything that I have been feeling for the past, like this entire year. I have just felt really refreshed, renewed, and restored. I feel like I have been on this journey of life for 35 years, and for the past 15 years or so, I've been fumbling in the dark to make it all make sense, to kind of create the woman that I want to be, and it finally starts to come together for me, and I've really been feeling like I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. A lot of us look at other people and wonder, how did they get to the other side? But that's how they do it. They fight the good fight, they finish the race, and they keep the faith. Now, in my daily devotional today, it says there's a war going on in the spiritual realm, and it's a fight for your soul. And I think a lot of times we forget that we are not just our bodies, and we don't fight against, you know, people, but principalities, and we fight against, you know, not the flesh and blood, but the authorities that are trying to overthrow God's purpose and plan for your life. When people fall into alcoholism and drug abuse and all of these horrible and dangerous things that could kill them, you know, their bodies, it's not their bodies that the enemy is after, it's their soul. The enemy is trying to take their soul. And that is what I want to talk about today. So the way that I've been feeling, guys, I have felt like I've been saying this, I'm like, I paid my dues, right? We've gone through a lot of things, especially when you're someone who has maybe gone through a recent divorce, or you have gone through, a career change, or just something in your life that feels like it's the end, but it's also the beginning of something new. That can be very scary when you're ending something, but you're also starting something new, because, you know, death is just life, you know, in reverse. And so I know that I've definitely felt like, wow, you know, I'm in this new space of feeling like I have authority and I have power and I have confidence and I'm walking with my head high, my chest puffed out, and I'm like, yes, girl, and my mannerisms are just really sensual and soft, and I feel focused and I'm not worried about the things around me, and I'm kind of just focused, not being distracted with all of the sounds and the words and the ideas of others and even the opinions of others. I'm just really focused on myself. And I think that I've really been saying like it's just confidence, right? But where does this confidence come from? That's the real question. Like I've been saying, like I'm writing this book on confidence and I'm writing this book on femininity. But where do those things come from? And I think that the reason I have gained this amount of confidence is because I've fought the good fight. Now, I've talked about before how in the past I went through deep, dark depression and anxiety. And I declared this not too long ago, but I said it again yesterday. I was saying a prayer to God, and I told Satan, I said, I will never, ever forgive you for the amount of mental and emotional anguish that you put me through that caused me not to even want to live life anymore. I was so close to ending it all twice and so in pain that I, you know, was willing to check myself into a hospital because I just knew that I was under spiritual attack, and no pastor, no minister would, you know, rebuke anything off of me. So I had to try to do it my own self, you know, and seek help. And the reality is I can never forgive Satan for that. So I feel that now that I'm in this space of saying, like, I will never give myself back to the world. I will never go backwards. It's because I have fought this fight, this race, the things that I've gone through most people have never experienced. Even beyond just the spiritual attacks, right? There's a lot of things that we go through that are not normal. You know, most people in our friend groups maybe have never experienced those things. Maybe people in our friend groups have never gone through a divorce, or they've never lost a parent, or they've never, or at least not yet, they've never, you know, maybe had an abortion or had a miscarriage. Like, a lot of us are going through things or are dealing with things that a lot of our friends have never dealt with, right? And because the people in our close friend groups have never experienced these things, they don't understand why our fight is so personal and so, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so like we're just like intent on making it and fighting and getting to the other side. They don't understand the spiritual warfare that we're under and how we're fighting every day. So once we finally get past that and we're like moving to the next level, a lot of times people like to pull you back because they don't understand, like, how did you get to this space? Well, I fought the fight. I finished my race. I got to the end. So now I don't have to stay in those spaces anymore. I don't have to be sad. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be confused or insecure or depressed or anxious anymore because I fought the good fight. I did my part. I didn't give up on God, and God didn't give up on me. So now I'm in a whole nother space of, you know, peace, another space of ready to start this new life. Because of course, after something dies, it's an opportunity for birth, right? So I'm ending something old and I'm starting something new. And when I read this verse today, for me, it felt like this was the one thing that I knew I needed to read, that I needed to hear today. And I wanted to share that with you because I know that because I'm on this journey and have been for a very long time. I believe I started this podcast in 2019, but I started my journey back in 2013 officially. But prior to 2013, if we're going to be honest, 2010 is when I really became intentional. So I've been doing this for about 13, 14 years now. And to say, like, wow, 13, 14 years later, I finally can walk tall and, you know, be sensual and loving and know what I want and what I don't want and be willing to try things that even may be deviant to some people, because anything that is not of a norm is deviant. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily evil. It just means that it's not of the norm. And now I've gotten to this space of being able to say, well, I feel comfortable with this because I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight, and now I've understood who I am in Christ. So I want to pin, you know, kind of tie this into our love lives and our friendships and friend groups. So I was thinking, if you guys know, I talk about like being open to love. I've been seeing a lot of things on TikTok where women are saying like they're decentering men from their lives, and I think that that's very dangerous, but I can kind of understand where they're coming from. So decentering men, to decenter, they're saying that they're no longer making men the center of their universe, their lives. They're not, men are not their focus. And I think that that is okay. I can accept that if you don't want to make men the focal point of your life. I've definitely gone on a celibacy journey before. I've also did a purge from dating and dating apps before. And so I get it. I understand why that was important for me. I did it personally, not because men were a distraction, but because I wanted to learn myself better. I wanted to love myself better. I decentered men, not because I hate men or I think men are horrible, but I decentered men because I needed to focus on myself a little bit more. And I think what these women are saying is they're decentering men because they just think men are bad. They just are all, a lot of them are like, well, men are just horrible. And men can be sucky. You know, it's true. Some of them can be really bad. They can be a little sucky. But I also believe that that is not every man, just like every woman isn't horrible. Well, there's a few that are bad, right? We can understand that. But we don't want to have the idea that one bad apple store just, you know, spoils the entire bunch, because if that were the case, then we would all be horrible, right? Because there are definitely some bad apples in our pool as well. But I believe that it's important to decenter if you're doing it for your own personal growth and not out of hatred for the opposite. I don't think that it's healthy for us to decenter men if we're saying that they're all hateful and horrible, and you know, our favorite word is to say that they're trash. And I don't think it's healthy if that's why you're doing it, because the reality is that it's just not true and it's not healthy. It's coming from a place of hatred and anger, so there is going to be no growth there. It's just going to be bitter, a bitter spirit that's being cultivated. Now, if you're deciding to decenter men because you want to love yourself better and you want to understand who you are and what your focuses are going to be, what your interests are, what you like, what you don't like, what your 5-year, 10-year plan is, what kind of person you are. Are you a happy person? Are you a jovial person? Are you more melancholy? Are you introverted? Are you extroverted? Do you like the arts? Are you more into sports? If you're decentering men because you just want to better understand yourself, you want to grow, give yourself quality time, then I think it is very healthy. Now, for myself personally, what I've understood about fighting the good fight and, you know, finishing the race, how I've been feeling lately, I'm like, Latricia, I feel like you really finished the race, girl. Like, I'm really proud of you. Out of, you know, the 14 years that I've dedicated to this, I really feel like, yeah, the devil's definitely been after my soul. Okay, y'all, I'm not gonna pretend like it is all perfect over here. I've gone through things that most people could not stand, but I'm still here and I'm still going strong and I'm still making it happen. However, what I've recognized is, because I do want to be in love and I do want to find my person, I want the man that is for me. I don't want the man that, you know, feels like he has to pretend he's something he's not, or expects me to pretend I'm something I'm not. I want the man that is tailored for me. So, you know, fast forward. Or rewind. There's a guy that I've dealt with in the past, and what I liked about this person was that they're real, right? They're not like this caricature. They look beautiful and great in their suits when they're at work and handling their business. They look beautiful and amazing and just top tier when they're in their sweatpants and their sweatsuits and their sneakers. They are well read and educated, but they also love sports and basketball, and play sports. They, like I said, are a business owner, but they also are very down to earth, you know, very chill, very laid back, very, you know, just a cool person. I like that. I remember a person and I were having a discussion about intimacy with the opposite sex. This was just myself and another woman, and we're all adults here, so I'm just, you know, being honest. And we were talking about like intimacy and, you know, certain things that they felt were off limits in the bedroom. And I was just kind of there thinking like, well, you know, the man or the person that I want to date, in my mind, he's not going to have all of those restrictions and all of those ideas, because just like me, he's godly, God-fearing, and about his career and his success, but he also isn't afraid of sensuality and sexuality and is not put off by it or disgusted by it or ashamed of it. So I think that for me, what I've recognized about fighting the good fight and getting to the end is that I'm just a lot more sure about what it is I like and the person that I desire and the people that I desire to be in my life are the people that I don't have to censor myself for. They're the people that I can talk to about anything. There's no judgment. There is no cringy, you know, energy. It's just an open discussion based on our journey as human beings, whether it's a spiritual discussion, whether it's an intellectual discussion, and whether it's just a fun, playful, jovial discussion. I want to be in a space where I can flourish fully and not feel restricted and censored. And I think that a lot of us live in a space of censorship because we are not comfortable, and we make it seem as though it's maturity, but it's actually immaturity in my opinion. But we label that as purity, but it, in my opinion, is really naive to not be well-versed and well-rounded in all spaces and all areas of life. I have just kind of felt like fighting this good fight and getting to the end of the race for me feels like confidence. It doesn't feel raunchy. It doesn't feel censored. It doesn't feel any of those things. It feels natural. It feels calm. It feels comfortable. And as I say all the time, you know, I've been through things that most people haven't, that I know. Most people that I know have not gone through. And yet, I have made it to this other side. And not only have I made it to this other side, I have kept God at the front of my life throughout the entire journey for the past, well, entire life, but dedicated for the past 10 years of my life. I have been 100% focused on God, right? I've had my fun. I've enjoyed my life, but I haven't had as much fun as I would like. I haven't enjoyed my life, myself, in all of the ways that others have. And a part of it has been because of me being restricted. But now that I feel like I've gotten to this end, I feel like the sky is the limit. And I think that most of us have had those moments, right, where we're thinking like, okay, I want to start dating again. I want to get out and start meeting people again. I want to start enjoying my life again, which we should. We should do those things. We should start enjoying life, enjoying ourselves, having fun, being more social. And that is going to come with fighting a fight, right? That's going to come with, you know, maybe a little bit of disappointment, maybe a little bit of boredom, a little bit of frustration every now and then. Nothing too crazy, but you know, the frustration of thinking, where is my person I'm dating? I haven't found them. Or the disappointment of, you know, I really wanted them to be, you know, all of the things on my list, but I had to eliminate a couple of those things. There's a lot of things that we are going to encounter throughout this life's journey, but if we can fight the fight and get to the end, it's all worth it. You know, even in just our dating experiences, if I speak about myself personally, guys, my dating experiences have been very interesting. I've had some that have been amazing and have been fun, and then I've had others that are like, this is just a waste of time, but it's, you know, and then you have to end it whenever you do end it. I've gone through all of these great, you know, moments, and it's been fun. It's been, you know, it's been a journey, and I love it. Like, I wouldn't trade any of it because all of it has been a lesson. All of it has taught me something. All of the experiences have been just that, in a memory and experience. When I go back and I look at my pictures and I look at my memories from Snapchat and Instagram and all of these things, I'm like, wow, you know, I had fun here and I did this and I did that. These are experiences, and all of this is a part of the journey. And in each situation, there's a lesson to be learned. There is something that we're fighting against, right? There's something that we're holding back, or we're putting it all out there. We're doing something in every moment of our day. Even now with me recording to you guys right now, this is an experience. There is something that I hopefully am learning and am teaching at the same time. So this is going to be a significant moment. So yeah, it was really important that I read this Bible verse today, And it's important that I share this Bible verse today, because I'm pretty sure there is someone else who is probably feeling the same way that I'm feeling. Like, wow, you know, I feel confident, I feel smart, I feel focused. I feel like I can take on the world. I'm ready to date again. I'm ready for love. I'm ready to meet my new friends. You know, I've been in this place in my life where I'm like, I'm ready to twerk on tables. This is like my, it's funny for me to say, because I probably won't really twerk on a table, but who knows? I'm just in this space of my life where I'm just like, Lord, I feel free. I feel happy. I feel like I've fought the good fight and I've gotten to the end, and now I'm ready to enjoy life. Because like I said, guys, for the past 14 years, I've been cognizant and focused and trying to figure everything out. And for the past 10 years, I have been feeling really tuned in and really focused. But there have been so many ups and downs in these 10 years. So many things have been trying to come at me, like literally. But thankfully to God, I'm much stronger than my adversaries when I have Christ with me. I saw this video online, and this young lady was speaking, and she was saying, you know, I felt like she was speaking to me, you know. I was like, this girl, does she know me? She was saying that a lot of people are under attack, and she said, you're under attack by multiple people. She says, you feel like there's an army after you, that everybody is trying to, you know, compete with you or attacking you. And she says, you feel this way because the devil knows he can't get you by himself. He knows that you are a force by yourself, that if he leaves you alone, you're going to be blessed. You're going to figure it out. You're going to be happy. You're going to be, you know, successful. And because he knows that he can't leave you alone, he has to get an army of people to bring you down, because he cannot do it by himself. And I was like, wow, that is so powerful. Because I know that I had kept failing. I was like, well, you know, I'm doing well and God is good. And I feel like I've entered this new space in my life. I feel like I'm calling a spade, because I used to grow up and people would mention to me, like, you know, we don't like to use the word haters because for some reason we do not believe that haters exist, but they do. And we all know that haters are what we call admirers. They're fans of us and they just don't know it. But we don't like to use this word. But I've learned to call a spade a spade. I used to always run away from calling people jealous or envious or haters, or I always ran away from, you know, saying anything negative about people, because I don't like for people to say negative things about me. And I'd really try to give people the benefit of the doubt, because the reality is, naturally, I really do try to speak positive things and say positive things. All of my friends who know me from the past would unanimously agree that, like, I really don't have bad intentions for people. I'm not conniving, I'm not sneaky, and I don't say bad things about people. I don't have poor things to say about others. I truly do not. But every now and then, you know, you have to do what your friends do, and you got to keep it real, right? And you got to call a spade. And that's pretty much what she was saying. She was just like, hey, people can't get you by themselves, so they got to get a whole army to team up against you, because they know that if you were by yourself, you know, you'd win. If they just let you alone and let you live your best life, you'd be successful. You'd win. You'd make the connections. You'd thrive. You'd soar. And I was like, God, you know, that is so true. And like I said, for years, I would just let everybody say it. And I would just say, you know, I didn't say it. You said it, right? I did not say that. You said it. Although I agree with you, let the record show I didn't say it. Now I'm in this space where I'm like, you know what? I'm calling a spade. That does not make me a bad person. It just makes me honest. And we give people, myself personally, I think it is very important for us to give people chances to show us who they are, but also give them chances to rectify their behavior. It's not fair for us to label people and assume that that's all that they have the potential to be. Everybody has space to grow. Everyone should have an opportunity to grow, right? So you make the mistake and then you say to yourself, I'm gonna make the changes. I'm gonna do something different. And that's good. You know, that's commendable. That's smart. But once you've given people enough chances and they're showing you, like, hey, I'm just gonna be what I am and I'm okay with that, you have to just let people be what they are and let them be okay with that. And that's kind of where I found myself. And I really wanted to share with you guys that honestly, you have fought the good fight. And the reason why you're feeling so confident and so settled and so focused and so smart and so in tune with yourself and so intuitive and cognizant, as my teacher would say, my sociology professor would tell me, you're so conscientious, Miss Robinson, you're so cognizant. And I was like, huh? I didn't understand it. But now I recognize I really am. And Wale has this verse that he has in his song, and I just played it. And I reposted it on my socials. And, you know, he says, she hurts feelings, she breaks hearts. You know, she takes pride in getting hollered at and saying, nah, she's no saint. You know, you guys know that song where he's like, basically, she's calculating, basically. And I was like, man, that's so me. Like, I think things through. I try to understand the world around me. I understand the good and the bad. I know that, you know, there can definitely be a rainbow at the end of this cloud, but there could also be, you know, some darkness over there. Everybody isn't positive. Everyone isn't a good person. A lot of people are really good at masking their intentions. And I think that that's a good way to think. You know, how many girls have been in situations where they didn't think that way? When I was younger, I was in several situations where I didn't think things through. And I'm going to give you guys an example of something that happened to me when I was a very, very young girl. I remember I was at this man's house, and I was probably like in the second grade, maybe first or second grade. And I was at this, I think it was second grade. I was at this man's house. He was babysitting me. And I remember thinking while I was there with him, because it was myself and his son. And I remember thinking to myself, and I don't know why I thought this. I think at this time I had already gone through a sexual, you know, molestation as a child. And for some reason, I felt safe with him, but I didn't feel safe. There was this part of me that felt safe, but I was like, I'm the only girl here with this guy and this boy. And something about it just didn't feel right. It wasn't that I didn't feel safe. I just felt like, well, should I be here with two men, you know, with this young boy and this man? There was this part of me that felt like that wasn't safe. And lo and behold, he did eventually proceed to touch me inappropriately. But it's things like that. We don't allow women we don't tell women to think that way, right? We are now getting into this space where we're telling them to start thinking that way because they need to be safe. But before, you know, girls, we were told, you know, give your uncle a hug, you know, sit on your uncle's lap or do all of these things without actually thinking about, well, is this safe? Is this normal? Should I do this? And like I said, I don't know what made me as a young girl even recognize that something about that didn't seem safe. I don't know if it was because before I had been, you know, inappropriately touched, but for some reason I remember being in, I don't know if I was standing in the bedroom or standing in the bathroom, but I was with him, and I remember thinking, I shouldn't be here with a man and a boy. You know, I'm the only girl here. And I, like I said, I was only in like the second grade, but there was something about that just did not feel right. And so I'm really good at thinking about the world in a positive manner, but also understanding like, but there's also this other side of it that isn't that positive. That could be a little bit dangerous. That's a little sketchy. And so I guess that's why my teacher was like, you're very cognizant and conscientious, because you know, I kind of am. And I think that with all of those things, like I said, that I've gone through and I've experienced, at the other side of this is this woman that just feels very confident and very assured and strong and smart. And, you know, I'm 35 years old now, and it took me, you know, from 2010 up into now, but, you know, from 2014 up into now, of really just understanding like, wow, you know, all of those things that I experienced definitely took a toll on me, but look at me now. I'm so much smarter. I'm so much wiser. And you don't want to feel like you have to buck against the system, because, you know, a lot of times that cultivates masculine energy, and nobody wants to be masculine. I mean, as a woman, I don't want to be masculine, but that is a part of the devil's agenda, you know, for your soul, especially as a woman. And we talk about all things feminine on this podcast. When you're a woman and Satan sees that you're thriving your femininity, or you're on this journey to leveling up and having more feminine traits, a part of his agenda is going to be to place you in a masculine energy. If he can make you bitter, alone, angry, frustrated, he is going to do that because he knows that you have the desire to not be that. If there were certain things that you didn't even think about that you weren't worried about, he wouldn't attack you in those areas. He only attacks you in the areas that you feel insecure about, right? If I had never thought like, this is kind of weird for me to be here with this man and this boy, would I have been inappropriately touched? I don't know. I don't have the answer. But I do know that it's the work of Satan, right? I do know that that's not of God. I know that it wasn't God who told, you know, that person to do what he did. That was definitely Satan. So any areas of our lives where we feel uncomfortable or unsure, even if it's an innocent, you know, like that was a very innocent part of me. I was in the second grade. I was an innocent girl. That was a very innocent thought. But I still had to experience that uncomfortable and painful experience. So anything that you're insecure about or unsure about, that is where the Satan is going to attack. He's going to attack that area. So it's very important to know that while you're on this journey, it's not going to be easy because you're on a journey and Satan knows that you're on this journey. So he's going to bombard you with negative energy and bad experiences and, you know, bad attitudes and frustration and all of these things to make you a bitter woman, an angry woman, an unhappy woman, a woman who says, I'm detaching from men. You know, all men are horrible. I don't want to date. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have children. He's going to put you in this space because he already understands that your goal initially was to be this soft, beautiful, feminine woman. And because he knows that, he's going to attack in that area. I mean, honestly, that's it. I often ask myself, if I had never thought that about that man, would I have been hurt that way? I don't know. I have no idea, but I do know that that doesn't justify it. I do know that the thought being there doesn't justify the amount of pain that I had to go through, the discomfort that I had to go through. I know that nothing justifies the action. So I really think that it's important to just really understand that, because I think that a lot of women, I think we start a lot of things and we don't finish. And I can imagine there are a lot of women who have started to try to get into this feminine space, this confident space, this space of I've got this, I did this, I'm going to fight the good fight. And then they stop because the fight gets hard. You feel like you're losing, right? You're like, I don't want to play this game anymore. I feel like I'm losing. I'm done. I know a lot of women have probably felt that, but that is a part of it. You got to fight the good fight just so you can get to the end. You've got to finish the race. And once you finally finish the race and you've kept the faith, you can finally say, I've won. I can rest. You get to the end of it, right? Your battle and your journey is just like everyone else. It's just like that woman who says, okay, my goal is to remain abstinent until marriage. There's just like that girl who says, I'm going to be abstinent until marriage. And she does it. And she finally gets to the end and she finds her man, right? She finds her husband. Your journey is just like that. It may not be the same journey, but it's just as beautiful and it has just as much validity. Your journey is just like that man who says, I'm not going to drink any more alcohol, right? Or I'm going to stop drinking every day and only drink once a day. Once a week. And your journey is just as important as theirs. Your journey to stay feminine and stay soft is going to open doors for marriage, for healthy relationships with the man of your dreams, for the right friendships that are thriving and healthy, for the right careers and the co-worker and co-worker relationships that you need to be successful. It's going to help you close that deal. Your journey into femininity and confidence is going to open so many different doors for you. So it's just as important. And yes, it's going to be a fight. And yes, you're going to have to keep going until you get to the end of it. But once you're finally at the end of it, you can finally say, I fought the good fight and I finished. I'm done. I kept the faith. I finished the race. Notice that in the Bible verse, it says, I have finished the race. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Not I am finishing, not I hope to finish, not I'm going to keep going and maybe one day I'll be done. No, it says I have finished the race, meaning it's done. The fight is over. You finished the race. You kept the faith throughout. So finally, you'll get to the end of it. And then once you get to the end, it's important to know that comparison will definitely try to steal your joy. And don't get me wrong, that's normal. Most people compare their marriages to the marriages of their friends or their next door neighbor. Most people compare the house to and pool to the person down the street. Like, they have a bigger pool, they have a bigger house. Most people compare the series of their Tesla to the series of another Tesla. Listen, this is life. That is normal. But recognize that whatever your blessings are, they're yours and they are to be celebrated. Every room that you enter is a blessed room, is an opportunity. Whether it's an opportunity that's going to lead you to a better opportunity or it's an opportunity that led you to that great opportunity, everything is a blessing. It's all a part of your journey. Do not compare, because comparison will always make you feel like you're less than. As you're comparing your series of Tesla to somebody else's, there's somebody else with a higher series comparing it to that person that you're comparing it to. It's always going to be somebody, you know, as you're comparing your house and your pool to, you know, the town, the suburban town that you live in, there's a suburban town two or three towns over with bigger houses, with bigger pools, with more yard space, right? With more acres. It's always going to be something more, right? Even if you're like, I want something simple, and you're like, okay, I'm going to downgrade, and then you downgrade and you get to this nice neighborhood, and then you look at the neighborhood, you know, two divisions over, and you're like, well, that neighborhood has, you know, you're always going to feel like what somebody else has is better. But you also have to recognize that what you have is great. It's not a competition. What you have is amazing. There's always going to be somebody who wants what you have, right? It's like, it's just like that, the man, right? That I was speaking about. It's like, God, he looks so good in a suit. Oh, this man looks great in a suit. I love to see him in a suit. He looks great. And then you see him in the sweatpants. You're like, oh, he looks good in the sweatpants, right? He looks great in the sweatpants. But then somebody somewhere else, right, has on the same outfit, the same suit. And maybe he doesn't have as many muscles as him, right? And it fits his body differently. Or maybe he has more muscles and it fits his body differently. And that person's looking at that guy and thinking, man, I really like that suit on him. Why don't my suits fit like that? It's always going to be somebody who wants what you have. It's never going to be, you know, a perfect idea. It looks perfect to you because it's different, right? It's just like the man or the woman who steps out of their relationship and then they come back and they say, it was just different. It's not that I like them. It's not that I want to be with them. It was just different. And that's very true. People do this. I'm not justifying infidelity. I'm just saying that's an excuse that we've heard before. Like, oh, it was just different. And I truly believe that that is what gets a lot of people caught up. The idea that something is different. It's not because it's perfect. It's not because it actually is better. It's just different. And different always looks more appealing when you're not happy with what's on your plate. You go to a restaurant. You order the steak. Your friend orders lobster with shrimp scampi, linguine, a Caesar salad. I don't know. I'm just naming off stuff. Not Caesar. No, you have a Caesar salad. They have you have asparagus. They get the martini. You get the, old fashioned. And you're looking at their steak like, that steak looks good. And they're looking at your plate like, wow, I really wish I would have got some shrimp scampi. You know, it's everything always looks better than what you have because it's different. It's not because it actually is better, right? Your food may be seasoned more. Their food may be seasoned perfectly for a steak, and your shrimp scampi is two different tastes. They taste completely different, but they're great. Literally, it's always going to look better because it's different. Doesn't mean that it actually is better. It just looks that way because it's different. And I really feel like this is important. I can only tell you guys this because the way that the enemy works on other people, he works on me too. And I think that God just gives me a word and a different way to see things, because guys, I really am a sociologist. I take this seriously. That was my major in college. And I really do just study the world, and I do my Bible study daily, and I pray, and I get confused just like everybody else. I'm not perfect, but the reality of these things is simply that it's always going to look better when you're looking at somebody else's. When you're comparing yourself to someone else, it always looks better. But then someone else is looking at you, and I'm like, man, they look like they're having fun. They look so free. They look so happy. I remember that when I was younger, and I was very conservative, right? I was very conservative, and I became very conservative because I was like, people are not going to like and accept me if I'm myself. If I was my free, loving self, if I was still my flamboyant and jovial and, you know, quirky self with all of my silly faces and all of my cute little outfits and my loudness, because I could be loud at times and I was very jovial, very sarcastic, always cracking jokes, right? To the point where my mom would be like, you need to grow up, girl. And I'm like, why? I'm having fun, right? I was like, people aren't going to accept me like that. They're not going to accept that girl because I don't look a certain way. I need to look like everyone else. I need to fit in with them. And the reality is, none of the people that I was around were, you know, clean-cut conservative people. But I had always had this little side of me that was a little conservative, right? People would always tell me, you dress a little different. You talk a little different. You act a little different. So I just tapped into that a little bit more. It's like, what can I do to be accepted universally, right? What can I do to where no matter where I go, I'm accepted, right? Because that was my thing. I just wanted to be accepted everywhere I went. So it's like, what style can I have that everyone's going to accept? What personality can I have that everyone's going to accept, right? And then when I got that, I would look at other people. I go down my timeline. I'm seeing everybody out having fun. Some people are at nightclubs. Some people are on islands taking vacations and trips. And I'm like, oh, some people are getting married and going on dates and stuff. And I'm here I am sitting in my house with my hair tied up, with my little conservative self, right? Thinking, man, I wish I were out having fun. I'm watching everybody else have fun. I'm just sitting here. It looks so much better over there. Like, so much more appealing to be out enjoying my life, you know? And I think that the lesson that I learned from that was the grass always looks greener on the other side. It always looks greener, but it's really greener where you water it, right? So that's just important to understand. The grass always looks greener on the other side, but the grass is only greener where you water it. I would literally sit at home all conservative. Even now, I still stay home a lot. Right. And when I finally get out, I'm like, yes, I needed this. I needed to get out of my house, because I sit at home all the time thinking like, man, I wish I were out. And I still get out and I put on my outfits and I get cute because that's just who I am. I finally went back to being myself. And I think that's important for us to understand that, you know, it's okay to be yourself. It's hard for us to accept being different. Right. It's like a struggle for us. But although I would still put it on, because I like to put it on, I would still put it on. There's still this side of me that's like, yeah, I get to fulfill that little bit of me that really does like to be, you know, social and cute and feminine and all of those beautiful things. But then there's this other side of me that really wishes she could go out and have fun and dance with her friends and, you know, drink a margarita with her friends, you know, and just enjoy herself, travel with her friends, go to sporting events with her friends. Like, there's this little side of me that wishes I could still do that, but I can't, because I'm in my mind, I'm supposed to be conservative and I'm supposed to not do those things. And it's just unhealthy, you know. So I just really want to share that with you. The grass always looks greener on the other side, but the reality is the grass is always greener where you water it. So if you think about it like this, right? When I first started dating years ago, a few years back when I first started dating, you know, I was very conservative a little bit in the way that I carried myself. And I was, you know, very, it's weird because I grew up very suburban, right? And I grew up very, like, my mother didn't have a tight range on me. Like, she didn't stop me from living life and having fun and doing things. But she also was very stern. So she wasn't strict. Like, I could have fun, but she was very stern. When she said something, she meant it. There was no going back and forth. There was no arguing. There was no fussing. It was just like, I said what I said. And it's like, yes, ma'am, you did. You said it, you know? But she did not stop me from living life, right? I was just a very good girl. I really was. I was a good child. And I remember thinking to myself, once I got older, once I got older and I actually was like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start having fun and start doing all these things. And I grew, I recognized that the grass really wasn't greener on the other side. It was only greener where I would water it. Like, if I meet a man who, when I first started dating, I was very conservative in the way that I presented myself with him because I thought, like, that grass was greener, right? If I look this way, if I dress this way, this is the kind of man I'm gonna attract. Then when I got the man, y'all, he was a liar. He wasn't being honest with me. He did do great things for me that other men did not do in the past before him, but he did them with ulterior motives, and I don't think that they were really that genuine. I enjoyed it, right? It was like, thank God, this is an experience that all girls need, and I wish all of my men would do me this way, right? I wish all of them would send me flowers every week and take me out on 2-3 dates a week and plan little trips for us and take me to concerts. I wish they would all do this, right? Like, all of the men, all of my men do this for me. But, you know, all of them don't. You know, some of them do, some of them don't. And I was appreciative to him because he was one of the first to do these things. One of the first, not the very first. The very first was a guy that I was off and on with throughout college. But he did. And the reality of it is I thought that that was so much better, right? So I presented myself a certain way because I was like, that's the kind of relationship I wanted. And I got it and it wasn't honest. So the reality is the grass is just only going to be greener where you water it. So I could have met a man who was the complete opposite of him in the way that he presented himself, right? He could have been more down to earth, more chill, more authentic, more honest, but truly been genuine. And I could have been myself, right, without believing that this conservatism is going to get me the right man. I could have truly been myself and gotten the man of my dreams. And it would have been perfect because we would have been watering the grass with honesty, with, you know, transparency, with, I remember he would say, oh, it was just so weird. Like, he wouldn't want me to do certain things. And I'm like, why? You know, I couldn't understand in my mind, like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, why don't you want me to, you know, it was just so weird rather than me dating a man who would, you know, encourage it, like, yeah, you know, which was really the kind of man that I wanted, the things that he was telling me not to do. I'm like, well, I kind of want a man that, you know, encourages those things because he enjoys them with me, you know, like, that's us as adults in our relationship. Those are the things that he finds he's comfortable with. And that's the kind of man that I want, not the kind of man who would put restrictions on me and then he's not being honest. Like, oh wow, okay. So I think that I've just learned that, like, the grass is definitely greener where you water it, and it's always gonna look better on the other side, but it only looks that way when you're in lacking, right? When your grass isn't watered, when your grass is dying and shriveled and you're not tending to it and you're not putting maintenance into it and you're not putting nutrients into it and manure and what my mom and I would do, like, we would dig up the old grass and place down the new grass. I don't know what they call that, but we would go to Home Depot and actually buy, or Lowe's, and buy the actual grass, dig up the old grass, put up the new grass. Like, when you're not putting maintenance into your yard, it's, of course it's dying, right? We used to have to literally dig up the old grass because the roots were bad, right? And they would stay brown in some spots. So we would have to go and buy new grass from Lowe's, put down new grass and after watering it and my mom tending to it, it would be as green and as beautiful as, you know, we wanted. So when you're not tending to it, of course the neighbor's grass looks better. Of course it does. Absolutely. You're not doing anything to yours. But when you're taking care of your grass, right, it looks better. I literally would, you know, rake the leaves every now and then in front of my house, water the yard. I mowed the yard a couple times. I think, like, it's when you're not tending to it, of course it looks bad. Of course it does. But when you tend to it, it's always going to look beautiful. You're going to look at your relationship in comparison to the person next to you and say, wow, our relationships look so different, but they look so similar because both of you are watering the grass. You're watering your relationships. You're watering your partner. You're pouring into them. So I just really wanted to give that to you, to fight the good fight. Don't give up. You're going to finish the race. And then when you get to the other side of it, you can walk with your head high. You can smile. You can converse and network better. You feel confident, you know, things just work out for you. Your body looks great. Your skin looks great. Everything looks awesome because you have finished the race. You've kept the faith. You fought the good fight. And that's what happens when you get to the other side. So I love you very much. I pray that this helps you in some way. And I hope that, you know, all of your blessings come to fruition. And yeah. I love you guys and God loves you and everything is going to work out. Okay. All right. So that's the end of this today. If you like the Bible verse thing, let me know. If you like how I tied it into our femininity discussion, our confidence discussion, let me know. You guys know you can leave comments on these podcast episodes now. If you don't like it, it's cool. If you say, no, girl, get back to the fun stuff, then I'll get back to the cute and fun stuff because I really did have some cute and fun topics that I wanted to discuss before, but I was a little afraid. I was like, oh, I don't know if, you know, it's getting too risque. You know, I wanted to talk more about, you know, sensuality and things like that, our bodies, understanding them, and all of these really fun stuff and things, because I think it's important for you to understand your body and what you like. I don't think that it's fair for you guys to settle. There's just so many things I really want to talk about, but I did not know how to get into those topics without it crossing a line. I really want to talk about things that I know well and things that I enjoy. And so, yeah. All right. So whenever you guys are ready, you know, let me know. You're like, yes, girl, give us some more. Go a little bit deeper. I'll go a little bit deeper and we can have fun with it. Because there are some things that are really a little risque that I would like to talk about. Now that I'm much older, I feel a lot more confident about these topics and a little bit more comfortable speaking about them. But I'm not sure if you guys are ready. Sex is a very taboo topic for all of us. Like, even just saying the word sex sounds like, oh my God, did she just say that? So I'm like, I don't know, you know, I don't want to, you know, make anyone cringe, but, just let me know and we'll see how you guys go. All right. I love you guys. God loves you. And it is well. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.